Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a nippy 25 degrees and gray and cloudy here in upstate New York. But I did see by next week, it's going to be close to 50. So maybe spring is finally here. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 21st Century Cures Act, Human Guinea Pigs, Machines Rising, and No Free Lunch. I like that one. We talked about all kinds of things. We kind of outlined the direction that the show is going, it seems, to me at least. As 21st Century Cures Act lowered the bar for any of the big pharmaceutical device manufacturing companies and all these startups that are out there now, all the tech billionaires, our venture capitaling, all kinds of new mad science gone mad institutions that were all sprinkle funded by DARPA, not all of them, but a lot of them, from the universities, and then spun out into little IPOs that make bazillions of dollars. And now we don't have to do any type of major back-end health and safety testing before we are allowed to test our device or our new therapy on the public, especially the public who is willing to step up, pay for it, and who are desperate. And, you know, a lot of this technology is technology that involves implantables, and we looked a lot this week. We did a whole show, I don't know, a lot of a show on new brain implants and things that they've been working on and DARPA research that they've been doing. And of course, it's all in the name to cure mental disease, to cure Nana's Alzheimer's, and to help the poor soldier coming back with PTSD. But remember, a lot of this research is going into the Brain Initiative. There is a global and a federally funded Brain Initiative that Obama inked back a couple years ago in the United States, and they are trying to recreate the human brain in digital format. They want to be able to discover every little secret on how the neurons communicate together and how the chemicals flow and what little buttons they have to push to be able to quote-unquote cure us. You know, part of that super soldier program that DARPA's been working on was all about being able to manipulate the brain chemicals of soldiers. So when they have their biosensors on in their exoskeleton suit, or maybe even in their goggles pressed against their temple, and they're going into battle, and whoever the controller is sitting behind the dashboard watching what is going on in the battlefield sees that a soldier is having some reservations or some issues where they maybe are showing some fear, they can push a little button, get that dopamine button flowing, and send that soldier into battle where he can operate safely without fear and alarm. I mean, guys, this is a frightening future that we are facing right now when they can manipulate your body chemistry on the fly. And we're not just talking about brain chemicals. I've been digging into this gut flora, some of this newfangled, trademarked gut bacteria, and I found some very disturbing stuff. I'm not ready to talk about it yet because I need to understand more about plasmids. Thank you. Shout out to Clint Richardson. I messaged him yesterday. He actually gave me Patrick Jordan's number. So I'm going to have a conversation. Why don't you make some time here with Patrick Jordan and understand what these plasmids are all about, because I found plasmids now in 4 days in three different stories, and they had mentioned them in regards to that trademarked gut bacteria that you ingest as a spore, and then it germinates in your gut and overtakes all the bacteria that lives in your gut with this new bacteria that's very difficult to kill. That was trademarked in your tea. And the scary part about it is that they've been researching this for a very long time, but with a plasmid, it appears to me that you could take a plasmid and suck the guts out and put your own DNA of whatever you want in there And then this plasmid can get into the organism and start reproducing once it maybe gets into its DNA. That's what I need to understand, is how these plasmids work. But I got to tell you, you know, we've discovered in research that gut bacteria can very strongly influence your mental capacity, influence your brain chemicals, influence your health and your immune system. And more that they do research, and Bill and Melinda Gates were invested in living therapeutics, and that was using gut bacteria to cure you. Wink. That's why I have alarm bells going off over some of the stuff I'm reading right now. It's almost like a horror novel with a murder mystery in the background, only at a bacterial level. But it's frightening because people like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are invested in living therapeutics, i.e. therapeutic synthetic gut bacteria that can quote-unquote cure you. And as we saw yesterday, you know, with this whole 21st Century Cures Act with the mental health component and then promising in that act neurological surveillance, and Tommy Insel being now at Google's Verily from the National Institute of Mental Health, going to cure you and diagnose you with smartphone apps through your voice. We also dug deep 2 or 3 whole days last summer into the beginnings of and how far they got in the research of doing edible vaccines. And we traced that back to the very beginning days of when they started tinkering with genetic modification of food in the lab. If you want to find those, go to youtube.com/UCYTV, no dot. Try searching Before the First Cup, edible vaccines. There were 2 or 3 shows. But just look at the notes. You'll find all the stories. Charles Ardenston was the doctor that first started, and he was doing edible rice vaccines, edible tomato vaccines. I think they were messing with potato, lettuce. I don't know. There was a whole slew of them. And then they decided in this country, you know, and at least this is what they told us on the surface, you know, it's a little dangerous messing around with vaccines and food, because how are you going to tell the difference? So we're not going to do that here anymore. Nope, not anymore. Nope, we discontinued it. Haven't done anything with it. Nope, but we've continued our genetic modification. Flipping whatever switches, who knows what. Who knows what we've been putting into it. Oh, nutraceuticals, just for you, Johnny. A little more vitamin A and protein in your tomato. I don't know. A little more cockroach. I'm just making that up. But they could do anything, guys. That's the thing. If there's anything that we've learned from CRISPR, I mean, the initial way that they did GMOs utilized viruses. We've talked about that quite a number of times. They suck out the guts. And I'm wondering if it isn't similar to what they're now talking about with these plasmids. They suck out the guts and they put DNA for whatever they want to get in there into this virus. And then they set the virus loose on the organism. And the virus, what it's very good at doing, is seeking out chinks in the armor. And that virus searches the cells and finds the cracks and manipulates and gets its way in there. And once it's inside your cell, it starts to reproduce that DNA that was put into the nucleus. And that's why viruses are so good at infecting us, because they can sneak in, get in, and evade the immune system. And I found a new way that they're doing this, especially with like nanoparticulates and that, is that they're coating them in lipids. So when they coat something in a lipid, your body just sees it as a fat and goes, oh, you're okay, go ahead. Until it gets inside, and then that lipid melts, and now the Trojan horse appears. And there's some scary stuff. It's making my eye twitch. Oh, no. There's some scary stuff going on right now with lipids and how they sneak shit in. And I'm telling you guys, this is a plan. See, people like you and me are onto them. We figured out what they were doing with vaccines. We figured out what they were doing with GMO. Oh my God, Monsanto's stock tanked. Now they're going to be purchased by Bayer. Monsanto is even going to change their name to kind of get away from that stigma. They got rid of GMO labeling. They have international agreements. Hey, TPP got knocked down, but World Trade Organization is still there. World Trade Organization is still trying to force things on countries that don't want things, like Japanese radioactive food or Canadian and Mexican beef. You heard about that. We had to get rid of our country of labeling law because Canada and Mexico were crying the blues that by us labeling this meat is from Mexico, this meat is from Canada, they lost sales. They went to the World Trade Organization and they bitched. And they said, look, we're part of this organization and we are losing profits in the United States because they are labeling our meat. And so the World Trade Organization came to the United States and said, look, they're losing profits because of you. And you can't label your meat anymore to say that it came from Canada or Mexico because it's detrimental to their sales. And our Congress... Sorry, I was trying to swallow my coffee and talk at the same time. Our Congress took one of our laws on the books. This was last summer. And they got rid of it. Under pressure from the World Trade Organization and a lawsuit. They were going to sue us for losses. Canada and Mexico were going to sue us for losses for quote-unquote lost sales because we labeled their meat. So no more country of origin. And they will be able to back end whatever they want. Hey, you know what? If they decide that you're not allowed to put XYZ into food here, who's to say it's not going to happen in Brazil and then get some labels on it and get sent here as Brazilian tea or Brazilian meat or Brazilian whatever? I mean, I'm not just picking on Brazil. Brazil's got a lot of pesticides, so I always thought that yerba mate tea would maybe be some of the cleanest tea in the world since we have radiated Fukushima tea that they're trying to sneak into Canada, and now it's all free-for-all, sending everything. Just by the way, any of my friends over there in the UK, be aware, there was a story a few months back where they open the doors now from food in Japan to be sent to Europe. And I believe it was specifically Britain. And they were going to start serving some of the stuff in restaurants. But I know that they were shipping Fukushima tea for quite a number of years already to Canada. And I had read some stories where they were then shipping it to Canada, mislabeling it, and sending it to the United States. So you don't know. You just don't know. But I mean, even beyond a step for that, so this vaccines and food, they've been messing with that since the 80s. Charles Ardston, look him up. He did all kinds of experimentation. They said, we're not going to do that anymore here in the United States because it's too damn dangerous. It can get mixed up with regular food. Oh no, we care about you so much. So guess what? We have all of our scientists in one of our mad offshore countries. You know, we got a couple of them. We got Australia. We got India, and we got South Korea and Japan. Those are probably the four top ones that I can think of. Well, good old India. Don't worry about it, because India, where lots of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation money went, and I saw just recently, they just got kicked out of India. But that doesn't mean that there aren't lots of mad scientists over there, because India is such a huge population. They are ripe for being guinea pigs. They're using them for all kinds of things right now. But in India, they are still doing all kinds of research on edible vaccines because edible vaccines are stable in hot climates like in India and in Africa where you don't need refrigeration and you could vaccinate large numbers of people without even having to do a jab in the arm. And hey, wink, they'll never even know it. And I remember the big one, Ernston, started on the vaccine banana. Yes. Vaccine banana. So we could feed it to little babies and not have them cry. I mean, guys, this is a horrifying prospect because I really think that something along these lines is what is going on right now, except it's way beyond vaccines. We're talking about DNA, genetic manipulation. is what is happening now. We have taken all that we have learned in GMO and all that we have learned in Mad Science Gone Mad, sprinkled funded by DARPA, and we are merging the machine, and we are putting it into food, and now, even better, we're putting it into bacteria that you won't even know is in your food, and we're putting it into bacteria that isn't even getting killed by boiling water and could live for millions of years. That one, like I said, I don't want to give it all away because it'd be a whole show, but I got to do my research. But they found the same bacteria. There's a story out of CBS News from a few years ago in the Whip Carlsberg salt mines where they are storing radioactive waste. They found this bacteria inside of salt crystals that were 250 million years old. This very same bacteria that makes spores, this bacillus, that they are now tinkering with and trademarking. So just be aware, people. I am not sure that very much longer we are going to be able to protect ourselves, even being diligent about looking at ingredient labels. There are many times that they are finding that there are things in our food that, of course, have never been labeled. You know, and as we have all these quote-unquote pandemics happening and all this crazy science being done in the name of saving humanity, and quotations around that as well, you know, they could do anything. They could do anything, and us resistant consumers won't be able to fight. There won't be any kick left there, Johnny, because we're going to make sure we take it all away. Now, I had a story last night, speaking of stuff in your food and stuff in your... Oh, I know where I put it. I couldn't find it. I'm like, wait, I knew I posted it. Stuff in your food. Warning. And this isn't where I'm spending the day today. We're going to talk about AI emerging with the machine, but I just want to touch on this. One of our chatters in chat for quite a number of years has mentioned, and I've seen a lot of times, to stay away from titanium dioxide. And I always knew titanium dioxide probably wasn't very good. I had a friend of mine that I grew up with who blames some of her disorders that she has now. She has some real issues. And she, with her immune system and health and whatever, and she was certain that she had heavy metal poisoning that was a long-term thing that happened over a long period of time. She was an artist. And actually, she has stuff in the Smithsonian. I haven't seen her in a lot of years, but we were really good friends growing up, and we're friends on Facebook. But she was certain it was from the white paint, the white oil paint that she used to use in her paintings for all those years. And sure enough, it's got titanium in it. She was telling me, and this was probably back 10, 15 years ago, that she was certain that years ago, she's been working through all these years in detoxing, and that's kind of where we reconnected, was over this detox thing. She was detoxing from heavy metals, from the titanium. We started talking about titanium and titanium dioxide, but I really didn't know that they were putting it in our food. So then one of our chatters, quite a number of times, has talked about titanium dioxide additives in our food and how we should be staying away from this, but I never really understood what it was. Well, listen, a story came out yesterday out of fizz.org. Food additive found in candy and gum could alter your digestive cell structure and function. Now, titanium dioxide is a whitening agent. It's also a smoothening agent. They do put it into food. Anything that is white, including like your toothpaste, probably has some sort of titanium dioxide. Look at your vitamins. They probably have titanium dioxide in them as well. And we have talked about one of the ways that a lot of these poisons, and not just something like titanium dioxide, even nanoparticulates or any of this crap they're putting into our food, how it can pass into our body. And that is through the leaky gut syndrome. That is through our digestive system not working properly and being able to cross that blood barrier directly into our bloodstream. The other way is up through the nose. We've talked about that. I am pretty certain that a third way is sublingually under your tongue to be able to get direct in the bloodstream. Instant access. You don't want to let it get in there. That barrier is there for a reason. That is to protect you from poisons getting into your system. And they're finding ways to circumvent that. Well, guys, when I saw this story last night, this is right before I went to bed, I was like, no way. This is why there's titanium dioxide and everything. It weakens that barrier in your small intestine to allow all these toxins to get through. So listen to this. Food additive found in candy and gum could alter digestive cell structure and function. We are going to be invaded like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and it's going to be bacterially with genetically modified mutants. I am pretty certain the ability of the small intestine cells to absorb nutrients and act as a barrier to pathogens is, quote, significantly decreased, unquote, after chronic exposure to the nanoparticles of titanium dioxide, a common food additive found in everything from chewing gum to bread, according to research from a university right here in my home state, Binghamton University, as part of the SUNY system. Researchers exposed a small intestinal cell structure to physiological equivalents of a meal's worth of titanium dioxide nanoparticles, which are about 30 nanometers across, over just 4 hours, which is acute exposure, or 3 meals worth over 5 whole days, and that would be considered chronic exposure. Now, look at guys, they're putting this into all of our food. We all pretty much have chronic exposure to this stuff already. Well, the acute exposures didn't have much effect at all. But the chronic exposure diminished the absorptive projections on the surface of the intestinal cells called microvilli. So just like we have cilia in our nose, we have microvilli, and those are, again, like little cilia in our intestines. And with fewer microvilli, the intestinal barrier was weakened. Your metabolism slowed. And some nutrients, such as iron, zinc, and fatty acids specifically, were much more difficult to absorb. Ding, ding, da-da-da-da-ding. So not only is it opening up that barrier to your bloodstream, making it easier for pathogens to pass through the small intestine, i.e., kind of like a leaky gut syndrome, but it's making it more difficult for you to absorb nutrients as well. Well, isn't that what they want? They're going to make us sick. You're not going to get the stuff that's good for you. You're not going to get the stuff that's going to cure you, that's going to keep you healthy. Oh, no. And we're going to allow more poisons to pass into your system. Like, I was horrified by this. Enzyme functions were also negatively affected while inflammation signals increased. So it's going to, inflammation is the root to all disease, and your enzymes help digest your food and create all your bodily systems. So this is like a quadruple whammy. So add this to glyphosate in our environment everywhere, in our rainwater and finding it in breast milk, and we got a real problem, Clyde. Remember that glyphosate study that I discovered about the damage that it does to the cytochrome P450 enzyme, which is responsible for all your bodily functions, and having a depressed cytochrome P450 enzyme is pretty much the root to all Western disease. Guys, this is majorly huge. Just two small items in our environment. And I mean, think about it. This is just two that we've investigated that there's proof that are majorly damaging to our organic systems. How many more are out there that we don't know about? I mean, I've told you before, I come from a world of numbers and engineering, you know, specific lines drawn in science. So I always thought when I heard people talking about this stuff that there was just lunacy involved. Why would they be doing this to us? Why would they want us to be sick all the time and dropping off like flies? But guys, I've spent the last 5 years, you know, I have a little girl. And it really concerned me. I was explaining to her yesterday. She was asking me questions about stuff. And I was explaining to her yesterday how my whole quest in this really started. And yeah, Fukushima happened, so I flipped out. But it even started before that. And that was when she was a little baby. And I was giving her a bath. And I'm not going to mention a brand because, you know, it doesn't matter if it's poison. I'm not going to get slapped with any type of lawsuit. I don't have a lab here to prove it. But there's lots of proof out there when you research the chemicals. But I started looking at the chemicals in the baby shampoo. And it's one of the very traditional baby shampoos that probably most of us had when we were babies to wash our hair and our bodies and then grease us up with lotion and then powder us up. I mean, all that stuff is cancer-causing or hormone-disrupting now. You look into it. Even talc. If you use talcum powder, did you see that? There's all these now warnings for women for ovarian cancers from using talcum powder. Who didn't use talcum powder? Who didn't have powder wars when they were kids and foofed the bottle and think it was funny? Who didn't powder up their baby and have half the room foofed in powder dust? I mean, it's just so beyond. And so as they're sitting here telling us that this shit's safe, all this shit's safe, the vaccines are safe, the food is safe, the GMO is safe, the nanoparticles in the atmosphere that they're finding embedded in our brains are safe. Don't worry about it, Johnny. You know, plausible deniability, 20 years from now, we are going to find, just like we're finding now, that all the shit they gave to us when we were children really damaged us. It's causing all the health problems that we're having now as adults. It's just horrifying. But anyway, back to the baby stuff. So what started this for me is I started looking at the ingredients, and I'm like, methyl ethyl bromide tolinate, what the hell is that? And why is that in baby shampoo? So I started looking it up, and I'm like, oh, it says this ingredient is a hormone disruptor. I look up another one. Oh, it says this ingredient could cause cancer. Oh, and I started flipping out. So then I became rabid. You know how that happens. And especially when you're a new mother, you have like this killer mama bear instinct that you just can't control. And I went apeshit. I started looking up everything. And I was like, they're trying to poison us. I mean, I really came to that realization that any company that makes a product that puts the shit in there that doesn't need to be there, like, why do you need a hormone disruptor in shampoo? I'm sure there's 100 other natural ingredients out there that will work just fine without any of these horrifying chemicals. You know, I was looking up cleanser. You know, good old school cleanser, the stuff we used to shake into the bathtub and because that was one of, at least when I was growing up, I always thought that was probably one of the best ways to clean anything. I used cleanser on everything. And I even used to love the grit still in the bathtub when I was in there. Thought it was all nice and clean, and I would even leave it in there because it would clean my feet. Well, look up what's in cleanser. This was just maybe a month or so ago. A friend and I, for some reason, were looking up ingredients in cleanser. And I started digging up. And I'm like, oh my God, there's like benzene and toluene. There's like 32 beyond toxic chemicals in standard name brand cleansers that we've been using with these volatile organic chemicals that we've been using in our households for our entire lifetimes. Around our children, around our animals. I'm telling my mom about it. And she's like, what? Why would they be putting this stuff in household cleaning agents? I mean, it's just so unbelievable. So, guys, it just goes on and on and on. Any thread that I've ever pulled on, I have found horrifying stuff underneath the covers. So, let's get back, because I am so off topic now. All right, so back to this titanium dioxide that is in all kinds of foods, all kinds of vitamins, including chewing gum. So, chronic exposure to this titanium dioxide, they discovered, diminishes the absorptive projections on the surface of the intestinal cells called microvilli. And fewer microvilli, or villi, with fewer microvilli, the intestinal barrier was weakened. Your metabolism slowed, and some nutrients, including iron, zinc, and fatty acids specifically, were more difficult to absorb. Enzyme functions were negatively affected, and inflammation signals increased. And like I said, inflammation is the root to all disease. Quote, titanium oxide is a common food additive, and people have been eating it for a very long time. Don't worry, they say, it won't kill you, just very slowly. But we were interested in some of these subtle effects, and we think people should know about them, says biomedical engineering assistant professor Gretchen Mayer, one of the authors of the paper. And guys, thank God that there are still some people out there who have a few scruples. I read a big story yesterday, too, about this vaccine project that is going on with the MMR, and there are a couple researchers out there that are collecting researchers from around the globe who have findings about damage that some of these vaccines are doing to children and stuff that isn't being published. And they are collecting a large consortium of whistleblowers out there. So put on a seatbelt. I mean, hopefully it's not a little too late, because old school vaccines are going away, remember, and we're going to this new gene therapy model. So a lot of the things that they're going to be bringing out about thimerosal and other things might not even matter in the future, especially if they're DNA-based edible vaccines. But regardless, it'll show that they lied to us and told us untruths for many, many years about safety. Anyway, there has been previous work on how titanium dioxide nanoparticles affect microvilli, but we are looking at much lower concentrations. We have also extended previous work to show that these nanoparticles alter your intestinal function. Titanium dioxide is generally recognized as safe by who? Oh, yes, that agency that was supposed to be keeping us safe, that's kind of now been pushed out of the way, the Food and Drug Administration. And ingestion is nearly unavoidable. Ding. It was supposed to be that way. It's in everything now. It was a Trojan horse. We didn't know it. It opened up that blood barrier to let in all the poisons that we've been ingesting for 20 or 30 years now and didn't know. The compound is inert and insoluble, and it is commonly used for white pigmentation in paints, papers, and plastic. It is also an active ingredient in a mineral-based sunscreen for pigmentation to block ultraviolet light. Right, you can buy titanium dioxide and put it on your nose. However, it can enter the digestive system through toothpaste, and I've seen it in my vitamins. As titanium dioxide is used to create abrasion needed for cleaning, the oxide is also used in some chocolates to give it a smooth texture, in donuts to provide color, and in skim milk. You can even believe it. And I was wondering about this, if it's used in skim milk for a brighter, more opaque appearance to make the milk more palatable, does the milk carton say contains titanium dioxide? Because I'm going to guarantee you it probably doesn't. In a 2012 Arizona State study, they tested 89 common food products, including chewing gum, Twinkies, and mayonnaise, and found that they all contained titanium dioxide. And I don't know if that is an ingredient, like I said, that has to be labeled. And why would they be testing stuff if they already knew it contained titanium dioxide, because it was in the ingredients label? So I'm going to assume that the stuff was not labeled. About 5% of the products in that study contained titanium dioxide as nanoparticulates. Dunkin' Donuts stopped using powdered sugar with titanium dioxide nanoparticles in 2015 in response to pressure from an advocacy group called As You Sow. And they say to avoid foods rich in titanium dioxide nanoparticles, you should avoid all processed foods. Ding! We found that, and that's for glyphosate as well. Especially candy. That is where you see a lot of nanoparticles. And I discovered that a long time ago when I started digging into nanoparticles in food. And you guys, anyone who's been listening for a couple years, remember way back, maybe 2 years ago, I did a whole slew of shows on what I found digging into nanoparticles in food, not only as smoothening agents and flavor enhancers, but also in the packaging as well to lengthen shelf life. And none of that had to be labeled, and except in Australia. Remember, we found a video from Australia that it talked about they were labeling nanoparticulates just like they were labeling GMOs. But in this country, see, corporations rule. Corporations pay lots of money to Congress so they don't have to. And they win. We are a big country of guinea pigs. And as they point to all of our disease and all our Alzheimer's and all brain disorders and digestive disorders and metabolic disorders, oh my God, it must be your Western diet. Yes, it is our Western diet. It's our Western diet that you poisoned and then fed to us unknowingly to see what would happen. And now look, they got 21st century cures to fix it all. Step right up and get fixed. With nanobots and living therapeutic bacteria funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. All right, guys. So where do we go from here? I got so totally off track, but it's all right. So yesterday we talked a lot about AI, the coming of AI. Obama, my successor, will govern a country transformed by AI. He gave that lecture at Carnegie Mellon University. We discovered Carnegie Mellon is the pit of demons for AI, just about. They are aware that mayhem, shape-shifting immune system for the internet that has now been released came from. It is also where a lot of people for all the self-driving technology came from. Found out Ford invested $1 billion into a new company that is headquartered out of Pittsburgh because it is near Carnegie Mellon. Uber is running a big AI shop there as well. Toyota has invested $1 billion in AI also with Gil Pratt. And I ran across a story yesterday. There was a brand new story about Gil Pratt and Toyota and the reality of full autonomy with self-driving cars. It is moving right along. I saw a list of players that they have brought on board, and maybe we'll talk about that next week. It is the list of who's who in technology. We got DARPA, former employees. We got Bell Labs. We have MIT, and Google Robotics. I mean, Toyota has brought on the top talent that is out there in AI. And they are about ready to launch all this on the American public. You know, good old Elon Musk has popped his head out a whole bunch of times. We ended the show yesterday looking at Elon. And Elon's warned us tons of times that we better be careful. Because if we let the rise of AI happen, the rise of the machine, and we don't find some way to either augment ourselves with something like a neural lace that he's working on or merge, we're going to become relegated to pets or exterminated because we will not be able to compete. Well, we ended the show yesterday with Elon, a new statement from him. Elon Musk doubles down on universal basic income. It is going to be necessary. Remember, robots are going to take all the jobs. I've been warning you. They said, no, don't worry about it. Davos was saying, no, don't worry about it, until Ginni Rometty said, well, Watson's going to touch everyone's lives on this planet within the next 5 years. Look out, Dr. Watson, because here he comes. We found out even Wall Street, we had equity traders. And the equity floor, they used to have 600 traders. They are now down to 2. Watson has also teamed up with H&R Block. He talked about, I forgot his name. The robot lawyer. Watson's also back-ending being a robot lawyer. We have Dr. Watson curing cancer. It's going to be not just blue-collar jobs, like Carl Jr.'s restaurants, or self-driving vehicles, or over-the-road beer deliveries. It's going to be anything such as surgeons and lawyers and accountants and many, many others, all of our manufacturing, even DNA labbing. I ran across a story the other day that they are now using artificial intelligence and automation to start reproducing DNA sequences on an assembly line without any scientific intervention to create new molecules, to create new life on the fly, to see what would happen. In an interview with CNBC in November, Tesla CEO Elon Musk joined a growing list of tech executives who supported universal basic income as a possible solution to the widespread unemployment that automation will likely cause. Now, back in that Carnegie Mellon address that Obama gave back in October, he actually had said that in the future, as our country is being transformed by AI, we will have lots of job loss, but don't worry about it because we'll have a way to fix it. Well, yes, giving all of us just free money to sit around and do nothing. Like I said yesterday, there is no free lunch. We have been sold to the pharmaceutical industry for them to now utilize us as their pincushions and to give us 21st century foods, all in the name of carbon quotients. There won't be cows. Cows produce too much methane. Oh no, greenhouse gases. Crickets for you, Johnny. In your 3D printed nutraceutical food producer that we'll even give you for free, and you can print them into little Disney shapes, because then Johnny won't cry about it. They'll taste like bananas. And they will vaccinate you against anything that'll come your way with this new shape-shifting genetic therapy. Musk doubled down on his initial support for universal basic income. He says universal basic income is a system in which all citizens, all of us, will receive a standard amount of money each month to cover our basic expenses like food, rent, and clothing. And I think, he says, we'll end up doing some sort of universal basic income, Musk told the crowd at the World Government Summit in Dubai. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Now, if that doesn't put the writing on the wall, I don't know what does. Musk, you know, like I said, love to hate Musk. I really want to like Elon Musk. But I am afraid that he is a wolf in sheep's clothing, just like Bill Gates was. We used to think Bill Gates was the second coming back in the 90s. When, and I'm talking like early to mid 90s, as everything was just starting to roll out, the very beginnings of the internet, the commercial internet, Windows 95 came out and it was all balls out for technology, money falling from the sky. Bill Gates went up head to head against the federal government for antitrust lawsuits. We were all rooting him on. And that very day, that day that he came out and gave his press conference and said that it was all settled and they were not going to break up Microsoft and it was all done, I knew that he'd given the keys to the back doors to the feds. That was the day the world changed, was that day. And Bill Gates sold out humanity, and that was the beginning of the end. Well, I believe, I really do believe that Elon Musk, though he's playing both sides of the fence, and I know, I mean, he's looking at things kind of logically, saying, well, if we can't beat him, join him. It's kind of what he's done. He's even part of Trump's technology team or something, even though all the other tech billionaires said, what are you doing? And they all backed out. He's like, hey, at least I'm on the inside and I can have some influence and I can see what's going on. Be aware that Elon Musk is still a profiteer, and Elon Musk is still rubbing elbows with all the rich dudes that are in charge and setting the agenda. Well, Elon Musk talking about universal basic income and how we're going to take care of the people when the robots take all the jobs at the government summit, the world government summit in Dubai, just says it all. He's on their team. He is on their team. And I know he's got a heart and he's got a conscience, but I don't think he's looking out for little Johnny. I don't think he's looking out for my personal interest necessarily every day while he's looking at his balance sheets. The economic forecasts, though I would like to have a conversation with him just to see how he ticks. The economic forecasts for the next several decades don't bode well for the American worker. In March, and this is a very this very same mantra that Obama was talking about at Carnegie Mellon. In March of 2016, Obama warned Congress about the looming threat of job loss based on several reports that found that as much as 50% of all jobs could be replaced by robots by 2030. And the downside of that projection is that millions of people would wind up without a job, a possibility Musk discussed at the summit. And, you know, I was thinking about something else. You know, all throughout history, as the economy has gone up and gone down, we've found that the population follows that same trend. You know, when you are in a downed economy, people cannot afford more children, and so they tend not to procreate. But when there's a boom, people tend to have 2.5 kids versus 1.5 and a dog. And you know that this whole reducing our carbon quotient, according to Billy Gates at that one TEDx conference, we need to reduce that population and bring a carbon quotient down to zero. There will be fewer and fewer jobs, Musk says, that a robot cannot do better. And I want to be clear, these are not things that I wish will happen. These are things I think will probably happen. And see, this is where Musk tugs on my heartstrings. Because, see, I know he's a smart cookie. Did you know he actually engineers? He's in the lab engineering parts of his rockets and engineering parts of his self-driving car. He's not just sitting there pointing fingers, hiring smart cookies. He is a smart cookie. And he does see the writing on the wall. He's a smart cookie, though, that was good with his money and knew where to invest it. But see, he is also helping this revolution, this evolution, this extinction happen of human 1.0. And that's what worries me. I mean, even though he's part of that Future of Life Institute, and he's part of all the different committees that are talking about how AI could become dangerous and how we need to have a kill switch and how we got to make sure that we don't become pets. I mean, he is probably one of the most vocal people out there, and he does not come off like a tinfoil hat wearing lunatic like maybe I do sometimes. He and I are on the same page in a lot of ways. He sees things that I do. And that's what really makes me want to cry someday. Because if somebody like him sees the things that I'm seeing, that means that it isn't just a pipe dream or a pipe nightmare. It isn't just my lunatic fantasy. It isn't my friends pointing at me, rolling their eyes, going, "Oh, Jewel, have another beer." I typically don't talk about these things unless I'm hanging out and my friends and I are having a few drinks, because that's when their brains open up and maybe, just maybe, they can absorb a little bit of what I'm trying to tell them. But no, it's for real. This is all for real, people. This is really happening. And it's happening, like I've said so many times, way faster than we could ever imagine. Executives who have endorsed universal basic income, which is a group that include Y Combinator President Sam Altman, and he is a Y Combinator, we read about them before. They're a big venture capitalist group, as well as Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, and I've never heard of him. We only hear about Zuckermucker. Also say that automation would dramatically increase society's wealth. So, of course, they're saying it's going to be a land of plenty. Don't worry about it. Those robots that we're going to create that'll take all the jobs will at least also be there feeding you grapes and fanning you and attending to your every need, especially when you can have a dual-use home robot that'll cook and clean and be a sex bot I just saw something today about technological revolutions that are coming that are taboo to talk about. And one of them was the sex bot. So maybe I'll pull that one up. We can do that next week sometime. But let me continue because I'm running out of time. With automation, there will come abundance, says Musk. And almost everything will get very, very cheap. So deflation, again, economy's crashing. Electronic currency, universal ID, wave your hand, magic powers, microchip to unlock your door and drive your self-driving car. Guys, this is the globalist wet nightmare. No, the globalist wet dream. I'm getting confused by nightmares and dreams. It's all one and the same now. The money, theoretically, could be redistributed. Yeah, if everything's worth nothing, we could just make up new qubits and give it to everybody to give people financial security, even if they didn't work anymore. Universal basic income advocates often point to reduced costs as a reason that the system could be cheaper to implement than most might assume. Of course, I mean, as we're spending $1 billion here and $1 billion there, sprinkling it everywhere. I mean, Obama, every time he gave money to a project, it was $1 billion. 21st Century Cares Act got $4.8 billion. How much would that be for every man, woman, and child in this country? You know, every time we build 100 B-2 bombers or whatever, it's another $1 billion. For then planes that sit on a tarmac somewhere in Saudi Arabia or in Qatar. By the way, I don't know. I got into some stuff the other night. I was looking at global weather patterns, and I have this El Dorado County weather website that has some really great stuff on it. It's got this whole global vapor map that you can track weather systems, and it's got this whole global high-low temperature thing on a daily basis, so you can go and look at all these different temperatures. The other day, I was on the global high temperature checking out to see who was baking that day, and I scrolled down to the bottom and I saw that there was a global most rain in the last 24 hours section as well. And the top of the map for the last 24 hours happened to be Qatar. And they got, and this was just a few days ago, they had gotten 6.5 inches of rain in Qatar. Now, again, one of those moments that my eyebrow went, what? In Qatar, they got 6.5 inches of rain in 24 hours. So I just happened to go to Google and plug in Qatar weather modification. And I found that in 2015, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, I don't know, there were a couple of the Middle Eastern, rich Middle Eastern nations, it hired a bunch of scientists to help them make it rain. And then I did another search and I found out, oh, Qatar just recently announced this very large reservoir system that they are building to collect all of this additional rain that these climate scientists who are going to mess with its atmosphere to produce more water are going to collect. So I went to Qatar on Google Earth and I zoomed in and I started zooming around and I found their reservoir system. I found their water reclamation plant. I found their desalinization plant, and right near there was their airport. Really nice looking airport. And right behind there, and God, these were such high resolution photos. And right behind there was a private military airport. And as you zoomed in on this military airport, there were jets from all over the world. I really think, guys, there is some crazy shit going on. These Middle Eastern nations are so in bed with us. I really think that they are financing a lot of what is being done in the background here. This is frightening. And so we have this world government summit in Dubai. You know, I believe it's also where they do the yearly drone killer AI drone summits as well. is in one of those countries, either Qatar, Saudi Arabia, or something like that. Just horrifying to me. The way this world is headed is not a pretty picture. And the people who are in charge do not have your best interest at heart at all. Anyway, so that money will theoretically be redistributed to people to give them financial security, even if they didn't work, and it reduces costs because it would be cheaper to implement than most might assume. Because of a very small amount of people have almost unimaginable amounts of money at the very top, like in Dubai, a basic income could actually decrease almost everyone's income tax burdens except for theirs. Musk retains some skepticism about the effects of universal basic income. He has voiced concerns about what would happen to a people's sense of purpose if they had less of a need or no need at all to work. If there is no need for your labor, what is your meaning, says Musk? Do you feel useless? Well, that is a much harder problem to deal with. And like I said yesterday, if you don't stay busy, you tend to get into trouble. That is what happens to smart kids when they are bored in school. They tend to be the troublemakers. You tend to dig into things that they don't want you to dig into. You tend to require some sort of supervision. And I think that is where virtual reality and sex bots and legalized drugs all come in, guys. Because this is all about distraction, making you happy, and keeping the natives quiet while they are being infiltrated and don't even realize it. Plug them into the Matrix. Give them VR porn, and they will never know what is going on. Make sure you take care of all their basic needs like food, housing, and clothing, and they will happily go along like mice following the Pied Piper. Wasn't that what happened in Brave New World? Brave New World! They gave him Soma, and everyone was happy and didn't rebel. All right, guys. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Everyone, try to have an awesome weekend. Make sure you stick around. There's tons of new radio this weekend, and I will see you up with you on Monday. Everybody, take care.
JJ.